to usually their teenage daughter, usually in the heat of an argument, where they will say, you know, one day you will have your own children and you will have your own family and your own house to take care of, your own messes to clean, and you will one day understand me a lot more. And it's true. So a little tip to the youth, male or female, you know, you're probably going to understand. Your parents weren't as crazy as you once thought. They're not as unreasonable as you once thought. You know, when you clean up your kids' toys 15 times within one day, you're going to, you know, pull your hair out too. So, Mom, thank you for all the things that you went through for me, all the work that you did, you know, all the things that you gave up. And it's a good thing we have thick hair runs in our family, because I'm sure you pulled out a lot for me. So I just want to honor you on Mother's Day today. I love you. Thank you. Sure. Thanks, Mom. So I actually first had the idea for this sermon, the general kind of theme, the general imagery for it, 3 years ago today. And I was, at the time, pregnant with Shepherd. I was probably about 2 months, a little less than 2 months from delivering her. And I was sitting right over there where my parents are sitting. And I had a big pregnant belly, of course. And it was Mother's Day. And as the speaker began, I kind of just had this thought, you know, I wonder if I'll ever be asked to speak Mother's Day. And it's 3 years ago, and I thought, you know, what would I speak on? What topic would I speak on? And I just had this idea, and probably because I was pregnant, and it'll become more clear as I go, but I had this idea, and, you know, it was 3 years ago today, so this just must be the appointed time that God had for this message to come forth, or at least the general idea for it. My text is going to be Hebrews 12, 1-3. So we can put it up on the screen now. And I'm going to read it in a second. And when I first read it, you know, it might not seem, this isn't necessarily a typical Mother's Day message in a lot of ways, but I had this idea, and this is just kind of what I felt God tell me. And so I trust as we read it and as I go, it will become clear. So let me just pray, and then I'll read the passage. Holy Spirit, we ask you to be present here, that you would just open our hearts, allow us to receive what you have for us today. Empower me as your servant to be able to articulate what you have given me to speak to your people today. Lord, I just pray for all of the mothers. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for the gift of motherhood that you've given me, the great responsibility I have to raise my children. And I pray, Lord, that you would give each mother the wisdom, the discernment, the gifts that they need to be able to raise their child well. But Lord, most of all, I pray that each one of us would just have a radical experience and encounter with the risen Christ, and that it would just transform our hearts to such a degree that raising our children will just be a natural outpouring of the relationship and the love that we have with you. Lord, just give us everything that we need, all of us as parents, just as people, to be able to serve you well and to be the best example that we can be for the younger ones. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 12, 1-3. I'm just going to read it for us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, many of you don't know this, but my youngest daughter, Shepherd, was actually not born in a hospital. She was actually born down the road in my house, in my bedroom. Now, don't worry, it wasn't an accident, it was planned. I had a team of midwives with me. I decided to do things the old-fashioned way. I had a team of midwives. My mom was there. John was there. And we did it right in the house. It was on Canada Day. So literally, it was in the evening. So literally, as Shepherd was being born, there was fireworks going off outside my window from the neighbors, or shooting off fireworks to celebrate her coming into the world. And it was just the most amazing experience. I did it for a lot of reasons. I won't get into all the details of why. But it was just an amazing thing. And, you know, Lord willing, I'm done having children now, in case any of you are wondering. There's no third coming. Hopefully I'm done. But, you know, in the case that there was a surprise or something, I would definitely do the home birth all over again. It was such an amazing, amazing experience. And I think everybody who was there in the room also felt that way. Now, one of the reasons that I chose to do my home birth. I had a lot of kind of practical, you know, medically related reasons why I chose to do it this way. I remember I had already had a child before, which I did the hospital route. So I had lots of practical reasons, convenience, different things why I chose to do it. But one of the kind of more, I guess, philosophical reasons, or one of the kind of more, you know, side reasons, was that I actually wanted to have a medication-free birth. I wanted to have no pain medication. So now this is the part where all the moms who have been through labor say, who gave this crazy lady the microphone? Who on earth would ever choose that? She must not be quite right. But, you know, I did have reasons, and so I wanted to have this pain medication-free labor, no pain medication. And I wanted to do it for this. One of my side reasons was that I wanted to connect an experience, something that women had been doing for all of human history. It was really like a, more of a side reason, but women throughout, you know, the whole Bible, throughout really the history of the world, and still in many countries today, you know, they don't have access to these things. And it was just almost kind of like I wanted to have this experience that women had just been having throughout time, throughout history. I wanted to fully experience labor. I wanted to feel, you know, the personal challenge of that. Can I do it? Can I be strong enough to labor as these women have labored throughout human history? Now, my sister says, you know, labor pain's part of the fall, part of the curse. Jesus came to break the curse, so give me the drugs. That's what she says. And, you know, that's, yeah, she's like, pass me over the drugs, you're crazy. And you know what, that's absolutely fine. No judgment, every woman has to choose for themselves. But this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be just fully present. I wanted to fully experience with my mind, my body, everything, the whole, the pain, the glory, all that comes along with this labor experience. Now, in preparation for the birth, I talked to a friend of mine who had already done a home birth a few months before. And I asked her for just some advice, you know, what kinds of things helped you as you went along. And she told me that her husband actually gave her a verse to focus on and to ponder while she was going through the labor. And it actually comes from this passage. It was just part of a verse, actually. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, you see, when women throughout history have experienced labor, they've had to endure great pain, exhaustion, fear. A lot of times, women have been brought to the absolute brink of what they can bear, what they can handle. You'll often hear women in labor, well, first of all, you hear them grab their husband and shake him and say, you did this to me, this is all your fault. You know, but besides that, you hear them say things like, you know, I don't think I can go on. I don't think I can handle this anymore. I can't do even one more contraction. I'm so tired. I just can't go on anymore. And what the doctor or the midwife will say to them in those weakest moments when they feel like giving up, they'll say, just think about your baby. Imagine that you're holding your baby in your arms. Imagine that you have her or him with you. Focus on that thing that comes at the end. Focus on that joy that is before you that will help you to be able to endure. And it gives the mother strength. And she is then able to, when she feels like she has nothing left inside, she's able to continue. She's able to endure and go through that final pushing phase even after she thought she didn't even have it in her. And as I pondered this verse, I realized that Christ, though his suffering was incomparable to that of a human being in labor, it was incomparable to that, it was still, he had a very similar motivation. Just like a mother labors for her child so that she can know them and love them and be with them, so Christ suffered and endured so that he could be with his children. It was really for his family that he endured the pain and the suffering and the shame of the cross so that he could return to the right hand of his Father and so that he could be with his children. When Christ was on the cross, he was thinking about that joy that was set before him. Because you see, from the beginning of human history, humans have always wanted to be the parent instead of wanting to be the child. And they have always rebelled against God. We have always rebelled. We want to do things our own way. We want to make the choice of what is good and what is evil for us. We want to do things our own way. We want to take the place of God. And when humans first fell, Satan, our accuser, sat at the gates of heaven, and he said, I demand their punishment. He called out for our judgment. And God our Father, in his mercy, in his love, wanted his family, and he made a way for us. He came to this earth, he went on the cross for us, and he endured and he labored for his family. Now, one thing I just want to make really clear before I continue is that what Christ endured on the cross can be not really compared to a mother in labor. It's not even remotely close. Christ, of course, endured physical suffering, great physical suffering. He was beaten, he was, you know, tortured, put on the cross, hung there for 6 hours. The physical pain was enormous. But I want us to just think about for a minute the spiritual ramification of what Christ endured as well. You know, think about all the sins you've ever committed. Think about the sins that have been committed just alone in this room here. Think about when the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Think about the weight of the consequence and the judgment of all that sin. Now think about the great weight and consequence of the flood coming in. The amount of just, in the spiritual world, the consequence that must have taken place in order to pay for that. And you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was one city. And the time of the flood was one little window into human history. And I am one person, and you are one person. But now imagine the payment and the judgment and the weight of the wrath of sin for present, past, and future. Every single sin that ever existed. That is forget the physical suffering. That is what Christ endured in the spiritual realm. And so I just, you know, it's an analogy, it's an imagery. But really, what Christ endured for us is just beyond any physical pain that we could imagine. Imagine just the most pure form of motherly love that could ever exist. It's nothing in comparison to the love that God has for his children, as Pastor Dino said earlier. It's absolutely nothing in comparison to how God can love us. Christ was willing to endure for you. Now the question is, are you willing to endure for him? So if we can turn back to our text, Hebrews 12, 1-3. I'm going to continue on with this sort of analogy of labor and birth and motherhood, but I want us to just kind of look at a few insights from the text. So we're going to go through it, and I'm going to ask you three questions about endurance as they relate. So let's just read verse 1 together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, when you were born with a purpose. You were born with certain gifts and a certain race that was marked out for you. You were given those things in order to reveal God's love to his church as well as to the world. You had a race that was marked out for you from the beginning as God's child. Now, the author here says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. But before that, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, the author makes it clear that if we are to run the race marked out for us, if we are to play our part in God's family, that we need to throw off our sin. The imagery here is of a runner who needs to get rid of excess weight so he can run faster. Or they need to get rid of like restrictive clothing so that she can run to her fullest ability. We need to throw it off. So here's my first question. As a child of God, are you willing to endure and labor against sin? Are you willing to labor against sin? Now, childbirth labor can be a marathon of a thing. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of energy. And you really need to be mentally prepared for it. Now, when I had my first child, Eden, in the hospital, I had these ideas, like I learned a little bit about natural childbirth, and really, if I'm honest, I wanted to have a natural childbirth even with her. But it was my first baby, and I was a little bit scared. I didn't really know what to expect. I was nervous. And so when I was going to the hospital, I kind of had this mentality, you know, if I can go without getting the epidural or the pain medication, then I will. That's what I'm going to try to do. That's my hope. But really inside, I knew that I had this sort of openness, this sort of little window inside my mind. I had kind of really given myself permission to do it if I felt like I needed to. And again, that's fine, but the point is it's not really what I wanted. I kind of went in, but I wasn't fully determined and I wasn't fully set in the conviction And so what happened is that as I went through in my further my labor, I wanted to began the labor process. It was really slow. Now, here's a little myth I'll break for some of you who haven't been through labor or seen somebody go through labor. So you know in the movies where the person, you know, they're walking along, happy as can be on a sunny day, their water breaks, all of a sudden, I need to go to the hospital, somebody take me to the hospital right now. 15 minutes later, their beautiful baby's out, wrapped up in a little blanket, smelling nice. So that's not at all how it usually goes. First labors especially, they're long. They usually take at least 14 hours or more. Mine, I think, was a total of maybe 29. Now, it's not painful most of that time. Of the beginning, the contractions are very light. But, you know, as I went through it, I started to become impatient. And things were taking a lot longer to progress than I had wanted them to. And, you know, I'm excited. I want my baby. I'm starting to get tired. I'm starting to get more and more uncomfortable. And I can feel my conviction about it just really beginning to waver, getting kind of less and less firm. Don't we in our spiritual lives so often get impatient when things aren't going as quickly as we might like? Don't we so often get impatient, and doesn't our conviction often waver when things aren't going exactly how we had hoped they would? When things start to get a little bit uncomfortable, how quickly do we often give up? Now, it didn't take long before I decided to do something called the pit drip. And for those of you who don't know what the pit drip is, it's Pitocin, which is a synthetic hormone that helps a woman who's not progressing very quickly in labor. They'll often give it to her to help her to have strong contractions and to help the labor along. And so I decided that I was done waiting, and I decided to get the Pitocin. And I knew, as soon as I started the Pitocin, I knew that the pain level was going to go way up from what I was experiencing then. So even on the lowest level, some of you who have been on it are going to know, even at the lowest level, they told me, we're going to start you at a low dose. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I need you to give me the epidural now. And I was like, this is the lowest level, and this is what it feels like. Like, just give it to me now. So I can hear some people. They know what I'm feeling, right? So I went on the epidural at that time. Now, when I had decided I was going to have my next baby, I had my next pregnancy, I decided this time I am going to be ready for this. I read more, I learned more, and I firmed up my conviction that, yeah, I want to do this natural childbirth. And so I decided this time I'm going to be really prepared. So I started doing a lot of things. One, I started to read books and articles, and I watched documentaries and things to really kind of learn about it, to get my conviction strong. I talked to my friend, like I said, who had experienced it before, and I asked her about her past experiences, you know, what was good for you, what was made it difficult, what advice do you have to give me. I tried again to just be really mentally prepared and determined. Before, where I could have gone either way, this time I was like, no, I'm going to set things up this time to really help myself. This is what I really want. And then I think probably most importantly, I asked certain people to be there with me in the room to encourage me and to support me and to keep me accountable when, you know, things got difficult in the labor, when things started to get really hard. And you know what? For me, it actually turned out, here's my little secret, really, I actually had a really good labor. It was actually fairly quick and pretty easy. I think I credit my husband, who told me he prayed for my labor for 9 months every day so that I would have a good one. But I wanted to be prepared because you don't know how your labor will go. You need to have people who are in the room so that when the moment of your weakness comes, the moment when you're most vulnerable, and in the moment when that pain medication starts looking really good, you need to have somebody there who's going to say to you, are you sure this is what you want? Because you told me that what you really wanted was not to do that. And they're there to say, you can keep going. Don't turn back from your goal. You have this goal set before you, this race that you're running. Don't give up. I have that people with me. Because isn't that just so often what happens? That one day we wake up and we realize that we're not living the spiritual life that we want to be living. We really know in our heart, and instinctively we know, that we're not going to be happy until we're radically living for God. We know it. We know that until we are living for Him fully, we're not going to feel peace, we're not going to feel joy, we're not going to feel that meaning. We know it. Maybe we've even tasted it a bit before and we've gone back and we know that we're not going to be happy till we do it, but we, you know, we're weak in the moment. We're weak in the temptation. We make choice after choice after choice. We don't put up the right safeguards around us. And we end up doing something that we don't really want to do, living a life that we don't really want to live. We can't be passive about our sin. We can't just live our lives and hope for the best and just hope that, you know, when the moment of temptation comes, that we're just going to be okay, that we're going to be strong enough. So let's look at this analogy and think of a couple things that we can do. First of all, in the way that same way that I began reading books and learning, we just need to learn the basics. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to be, you know, learning what is pleasing to God and what is not pleasing to God. We need to firm up our convictions on those things. We need to ask people who have experienced and who have been through things before us, what kinds of things, what were the signs that you were falling into temptation? What kinds of safeguards did you put up for yourself to make it less likely that you would fall into that sin? We need to ask people who are more mature than us. And maybe most importantly, again, we need to let people be in the room with us. When you're having a baby, you know, a lot of times you're very exposed. You can't hide a lot. You know, things can happen that are embarrassing or whatever. But you have to be willing to let people see you when you're messy and when you're vulnerable and when you're weak. You have to be willing to let people be in the room with you so that spiritually they can tell you, are you sure that you want to do that? Because I know that you want to live for God. I know that you want to make the choices that will lead you to a life with Him. Are you sure? We need to let people see us in that vulnerable state so that they can help us to go forward on that race and live the life that we really want to live. We can't be naive about how difficult sin can be, and we need to be prepared if we want to endure through it. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." To scorn something means to consider it insignificant or to consider it inconsequential or unimportant. I said this a little bit already, but one thing women in labor will know is that, like, pride and shame go out the window, like, real quick. Because you got all these strangers in the room with you, people you don't really know. Again, you're exposed, you're vulnerable. You know, you're probably saying and doing things that you never thought you'd ever say and do in front of other people. There can be some awkward moments. And in those moments, you know, when that happens, a lot of women worry before they have their first baby about those things. And you just kind of have to make a decision that you just don't care. You have to make a decision that, you know, for the sake of having my baby, I can just deal with these embarrassing things. I can deal with the shame. It's not nearly worth as much as having my joy at the end. Now, for an ancient person in the Roman Empire in the time of Jesus, the cross was the most shameful way that a person could be executed. Roman citizens were actually exempt from crucifixion. They would never crucify one of their own citizens. The only time that they would is if they were a deserter from the army, so they were considered a traitor. And so it was a death of absolute shame and disgrace. They usually reserved it for, like, the most vile criminals, slaves, or, like I said, traitors. And so Jesus' death was about the most disgraceful kind of death that you could ever have. But the scriptures say that Christ scorned the shame of the cross and he considered it nothing compared to the joy that was set before him. So let me ask you question 2. Are you willing, as a child of God, to endure shame for Christ? Are you willing to endure shame for him? And you know what? We often will say, of course, yeah, I would, of course. But, you know, until you actually get in the moment, you don't really know. Because when you feel really embarrassed and you feel really ashamed, a lot of times you'll do things that you don't think that you would. Let's just flesh out a couple of examples of things that are in our culture or things that God may ask us to do that could bring us shame. Could you embrace the shame of poverty? Could you give up your dream of homeownership or sell your home so that you could live among a particular people who live in rental housing that God wants you to reach? John said a few months ago, I think, or maybe it was longer than that, I forget, he said he challenged some people who live in government-subsidized housing to remain there instead of trying to get out because you have such a unique opportunity to reach a lot of hurting people, and not anybody can just go live there. Would you be willing to embrace that, living there even for a longer period of time or permanently, if it was what you felt God wanted you to do? Could you even take it a step further and move, sell all your possessions, and go to another country and live in poverty among those people? Could you befriend people who have a difficult time fitting in socially? Now, I've done this, and sometimes it can be challenging. Are you okay with the fact that your friends may not really like somebody that you choose to embrace for whatever reason? Maybe they have a mental illness. Maybe they have just a personality that's difficult to, they have a difficult time being around other people, or people have a difficult time being around them. Are you okay with anything that they may say or do to embarrass you? Are you willing to integrate them into your friend group so that they don't have to endure loneliness and be outcasted, so that they can feel community and the love of God? Are you willing to endure that? This one's sometimes a little bit hard for me, I'll admit. Can you be okay with people, either your coworkers or professors or whoever, thinking that you're anti-intellectual because of your beliefs in either the gospel or something about the Bible or your faith? Because, you know, if you get into a tutorial or whatever with a person who's antagonistic toward you, it can be very difficult. I'm sure some students have been through that before. I had a landlord who John and I lived with downtown, and he once said to me, like, something like, I just don't really understand you guys, because your husband's an academic, he's really smart, you both seem like intelligent people, I don't know how you can believe that stuff. You know, but I just had to kind of shake it off, and, you know, it kind of bothers me, I guess, if people think I'm anti-intellectual. I like to think of myself as a relatively intelligent person, but I just have to consider it inconsequential. Let me just do one more. How about the shame that could come from going against your family, your culture, or your tradition? Now, imagine that your, let's say it's your daughter, comes to you at marrying age, and she says to you, "Mom, Dad, I want to follow God with everything that I am. I want to, you know, grow in my spiritual maturity. I want to live the Christian life to the fullest that I can. I want to be radical for God." And of course, every Christian parent's going to say, "Yeah, of course I want that for you. That's great." Now, what if she says to you, "Mom, Dad, I want to marry a man who is also searching after God, seeking him, chasing him with his entire heart, who's just the most spiritual, mature man that I can find." You should say, "Yeah, of course, I want you to have a partner who's doing that exactly the same." Now, what if the daughter says to you, "Mom, Dad, I have found this person, and this person is not from my country, they're not from my culture, they're not from my race." Now, for some of you, I know for a fact, for some of you, that would be a hard pill to swallow. And I'm not going to pretend to understand, you know, traditions and these different things and how difficult that might be for you, why you might have that personal preference, but I will tell you without hesitation that spiritual maturity and obedience to God, the spiritual maturity of you, your child, their spouse, is more important than culture. All of these things, they're more important than culture, they're more important than social status, they're more important than upward mobility, they are more important than your how much money that you make, they are more important than your reputation and what other people think of you. Christ has to be number one. Number one. Nothing can come before that. Jesus humbled himself to death, even death on a cross for you. Are you willing to endure any level of shame or, you know, discomfort for him? Let's turn to verse 3. "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and so you will not lose heart." This passage was originally written to a group of persecuted Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. And the author is trying to encourage them not to grow weary and not to lose heart in their personal trials and in these things that they're going through. And he uses this picture of Christ in this way to say, just as Christ saw something ahead of him and endured for that joy ahead of him, so you need to endure any trial that you may come across on this earth. You need to look ahead. You need to look for the ultimate joy, the ultimate hope. That is Christ, that one day each one of us will stand before God, and the ultimate hope is that he will look at us and he will embrace us as his children. God wants to love you. He wants to know you, not just one day in the future, but now. John and I often say that we just can't imagine what our lives would be like without our children. They are so creative. They learn new things all the time. They say the sweetest things. They also can be a huge challenge. They have such potential to love, such a capacity to do good. And then at the same time, they have such a strong capacity to do evil and to rebel. I have learned so much about God and his relationship to humanity, as well as just human nature in general, from having children. It's just something, God's patience must just be infinite, because my patience, gosh, I need more patience. Pray for me. But my relationship with my children is dynamic, it's authentic, it is full of failure, but it is also full of grace, and it is full of love, and I just can't imagine not having them. I also just can't imagine my life without my relationship with God. It too is full of failure, more than I would like to admit to you, but since I started following God, I feel more purpose, more meaning, more direction than I ever had before, more stability. It's just been the best decision that I ever made. And one of my highest goals in my life for my daughters, and I just have these, this is my second last thought. One of the highest goals in life that I have is for my daughters to see their mother building the kingdom. I want them to look back and to say, my mom was the real thing. My mom wasn't perfect. She was flawed. But she did her very best to be obedient to God, to follow his calling in the way that he called her. I want them to see, look back and say, you know, I can't, some of you, you're in pain and you're in heartache because your children are not following God. And I cannot decide for my children that they will follow God one day. I cannot force them to experience God in the way that I have. But the thing that I can do is I can try to be the very best example of a person who embraces God and does it to the best of my ability and to my fullest amount that I can, with God's grace, of course. And that's what I would challenge each one of you to do, is to just be seriously chase after God and be the best example that you can be. That's really all that you can do for them. Let me just close with this thought. When my babies were born, they weren't neat and they weren't tidy. They didn't come out with the perfect baby smell. They were a little bit slimy and wet and a little bit gross. If I'm being honest, a little gross. But when I looked at them, I didn't care. They were mine, and I loved them right away. Before they had a bath, before anything, I loved them. And I looked at them, and I thought to myself, you're finally here. Oh, my little one, how I've waited for you. God doesn't wait until we're neat and tidy before he embraces us and before he loves us. When we look up at him as a little child, thinking and saying to ourselves, like, Lord, I just cannot do it on my own. I'm helpless, I'm weak, I'm vulnerable. He looks at us and he says, oh, my little one, how I have waited for you. You're finally here. I've waited for you to need me, to learn from me, to let me guide you, to let me give you all that I have for you, to make you part of my family. I'm just going to close in prayer, and then Pastor Dino can come. Lord, we are all so flawed, and yet you love us. We have rebelled against you. We have tried to take your place as father, as parent, and yet you still went to the cross and endured so much for us, and you still consider us your joy. Lord, I ask that you would give each one of us the grace and the power to endure through our sin, that you would give us wisdom to put up these parameters and safeguards around us. I pray that you would give us the grace and the power to be able to overcome any level of shame. Lord, I pray that you would be our ultimate hope and that nothing in this life would compare. We would be willing to go through anything in order to be with you, to have you embrace us as your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I'd like us all to stand together, please. We can just lower this just a bit, Wayne. Have the musicians come forward. I want every head bowed because, yes, every head, including every man in this room, because there was something that was said that just said a lot of wonderful things, but one thing really stood out to me, and I want to focus in on that as we close this morning. Kevin, whatever comes to you, just something very softly. Okay, every head bowed just for a moment. I am directing this plea to the women, to the mothers primarily, of course, but praise team, if you can come, BC. Now, I didn't even think of this throughout any part of our service. In fact, it's been such a joyous time, and I've been worshiping and praising God and blessing, and it's just been exciting. And yet, as I just started reading the word, the text, and hearing the words this morning, something occurred to me. Something occurred to me that I didn't think about at all. I want to pray for the moms in this room. I want to pray for all the moms, but I want to pray in particular. And this is going to take a lot of spiritual fortitude to be able to respond to this. Jessie said something about when she saw her children just born, they were a little messy. And they weren't all tidy, of course, and needed to be cleaned up. And something just came to me. With every head bowed, ladies, moms, maybe over the years you have felt that somehow your performance, and I don't like using that word, but your skills as a mother, your abilities as a mother have been tarnished because of some experience. Maybe you've felt some guilt because of something you've said to your children or something you didn't do or something you did that affected your relationship with your children. And you have felt guilt because of that. You have felt that you haven't been a good mother. And I want to pray for you because I want you to know, and as this came to me, it also came to me that that is not true, you see. And I sense within this room there are some mothers that are guilt-ridden for some kind of an... This is, brother, sisters, this is more of a prophetic word, and so please listen carefully. And I sensed in my spirit that there are some mothers here who have felt some guilt for something they have done or some experience you've had, and the enemy's been playing on that, and it's really kept you in some chains over the years. And the Spirit of the Lord would have you to know that that is not true, that that has been a deception, that that has been a lie from the enemy, and that he's used that to hinder your relationship with your children when that has nothing to do with it at all. And so you've been experiencing and holding on to some kind of guilt that's been gripping you that has no basis biblically at all. And again, this I didn't even think of. This just came to me, and so I want to respond to that by faith. And so every head bowed just for a moment, ladies in particular, moms in particular. How many would say, Pastor Dino, I believe the Spirit is speaking to me. Now remember, this doesn't mean it's true. It's but you've been harboring this guilt. This guilt, and you've questioned your skill as a mother because of it. And it's affected your relationship, and it's hurt you with your children. And some of them have grown up, or some of them are older even. And some of them are not, because I don't believe this is pertaining to one or two mothers. I believe there's a good handful. So I do want to zero in on this, and then I'm going to pray generally. But I do want to release this by faith because I believe the Lord is speaking to some mothers here this morning who've been holding on to some guilt that has no basis biblically, and I need to respond to this. So how many would say, Pastor Dino, I really sense the Lord is speaking, and I want to respond to this, and I need prayer. And I believe God is going to touch you, Mom. I believe God is going to bring healing today, not tomorrow. I believe the God of the suddenlies is going to show up in your life today, on this very day. And how many would respond to this? Nobody turning, nobody looking, nobody shifting. I want to pray with you, but there's going to, you're going to need some humility and some honesty, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Moms, it's time to rise up. We're going to believe God together. I want you to raise your hand real high. Say, Pastor, God's speaking to me. I want to see that hand. Raise it. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. My goodness, there's quite a few. Yes, amen. And I want to be faithful to this. Ladies, without any hesitation, I want you to come out of your pew. It's all right. It doesn't matter. There's no room for embarrassment. There's no room for shame because there's nothing to be shameful about. So please come out of your pew. I want to pray with you. I want to pray. This is a word for you today, for such a time as this. Just come on out. Right to the front, please. Right over here. And I want to say thank you for your honesty. I want to say thank you for your honesty. But this is a great day. And I want you to know one thing also. That as God spoke to me about this, He also said very clearly to me within my own spirit. That there's been a lot of I believe the enemy has put a lot of emphasis on this to bring you down. And so a lot of this guilt that you've been harboring has no basis. It's been experience you had, but the enemy's done that to put you down and to bring you down, to make you feel unworthy, to make you feel that you're not a good mother. But I declare to you by the grace of God that you are a good mother, and that God loves you, and that you're just the fact that you're here this morning standing before the Lord is a clear indication how much you love God and how much you love your children and what a great mother you are. I want everybody in the congregation, please, to pray along with me. I'm asking the rest of them, there's obviously a lot of mothers, but so I can't ask all the mothers, but I'm asking mothers to respond to this. I want to ask the mothers, or some mothers, because not everybody can come, who feel in a sense within their hearts a sense of identity. They may not be pertaining to you, but you have empathy this morning, and you wanna stand beside your sister. I speak to the mothers to come and put your hand on the shoulders of these wonderful mothers. Can you please come? Moms, just come. I want you to come and lay your hands beside these wonderful ladies. Just come on out. Come out of your pew and just come and place your hand upon the shoulder of these wonderful mothers. And I want to pray, and then I'm going to pray for you. Now, BC, whatever comes to you, I want us to sing a chorus. Whatever's in your heart, I want you to lead us in this chorus, and then I'm going to pray. And so, brothers and sisters, let's just pause for a moment, and we just want to worship the Lord and give Him the glory, and then we're just going to move by faith and respond to what God is doing. Can we just worship, BC?
Hallelujah. Lord, we can't do anything without You.
No, we can't, Lord.
We just look up to You, Lord, this morning, Lord. We put our hands in Your hands this morning, Lord. Lord, I come.
My Jesus.
I confess.
My God.
Bowing here, I find my rest. Without You, I fall apart. You're the
that chorus again. The Lord is our defense. Hallelujah.
I need You. Oh,
give Him praise. I need You, Lord. My defense. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. I need the Lord.
Yeah. I need, oh, I need
every hour. Softly. Ladies, I'm going to read a word for you, and you must believe this. Listen very carefully. Very, very familiar portion of Scripture. There is therefore. And that word means now, right now, at this point in your life, at this appointed hour, there. On Mother's Day, 2:15, the month of May. There is therefore now, not tomorrow, not last year, not the year ahead of us, now, today, at 12:40, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made us free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation. You say, but Pastor Dino, I made a mistake. There is no condemnation. But Pastor Dino, I did something with my children, and there is no condemnation. But 2 weeks ago, there is no condemnation. God has not condemned you. You've made a mistake, but there's no condemnation. Maybe you said something, but there's no condemnation. Maybe something could have been considered to be questionable, but there's no condemnation. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because you love God. I'll tell you why. Because you're here this morning, I'll tell you why. Because you've wept about it before, I'll tell you why. Because your heart has spoken to you. Because deep within your spirit, you love God and you love your children, and you just want to make it right. And I declare to you this morning, there is no condemnation to you or to anyone who declares the name of the Lord this morning. Some of you have felt guilty because, and I don't know who I'm speaking to, but just I want you to hold, please bow your heads right over here. And I just came to me. Listen to me very carefully. I think there's maybe one. It could be two, but I believe there's one in particular. And I'll tell you, this is reaching home, so this isn't easy for me to say, but I'm going to say it by faith. And there's one mom in particular, now listen carefully, because something's happened to your child, not a little child anymore, but much older, and certainly is reached an age of accountability, and as well above her teen years, I believe. And she has made a mistake, and you have blamed yourself because of this mistake. And this mistake, I'm not going to explain it, but you know in your spirit what it means. And she's not married. And you have taken response. You have condemned yourself because of this. Now this is heavy. Now, I haven't talked to any one of you. I don't even know how this even pertains to you, but by faith, I'm releasing that. And so I'm releasing this by faith without knowing in my mind who I'm speaking to, which is fine because I'm not interested in what my mind is saying, but I'm interested in what God is saying. And so who am I speaking to as I know God's speaking? Can you just raise your hand right here? I want you to raise your hand. Is it my dear sister right here? Look at this. Have I spoken to you at all? Yes or no? Christ Jesus. That's the Lord. The Lord has spoken to you. Come on up here. We're going to pray here, but I just want to be led by the Lord. So just hold on a minute, okay? Hold on a minute. I want every person to... Jesse, can you come here, please? I don't know the details. I think I have an idea now that I'm seeing Fabian here, okay? But I've certainly not prepared this. This was not designed at all. This is just released by God. And so, Fabian, I want you to come here, my brother. Can we just stretch forth our hands over here? Okay, God is doing something special. Again, I just want to respond by faith, and that's what I'm doing. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today. And Father, the truth is, we're not even so sure how to pray about this, but we're just praying, trusting that you're making a way in this situation. Father, you said that your ways are not our ways. Father, sometimes things look so grim and so dark, and we wonder why and how come, and we go through all these questions. But Father, we're reminded this morning that you're still in control of our lives. You're in control of our children's lives. You are the sovereign one. And although we don't understand why things happen the way they do, Lord, our trust is in you today. I pray for my sister. I pray for Fabian. I pray for this family. I pray that your blessing will be upon them, that you would strengthen them. Father, you take the crooked paths and make them straight this morning. Take the crooked paths and make them straight. Father, every crooked path be made straight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just speak to my dear sister's mind, her heart, that the devil that's tried to condemn her, making her feel worthless as a parent. I come against these thoughts. I speak peace in the name of Jesus. In the midst of that storm, we rebuke the winds that are trying to bring her down, the dark clouds that are trying to oppress her. We speak life. We speak freedom. No condemnation to those that love God and are called for His purposes. And so, Father, remove the guilt in the name of Jesus. Let her sense your peace, your joy. Let her sense within her that you still are working it out despite what she sees. May she sense the hand of God in all of this, despite some of the calamities that have come, despite the darkness that might be around her. Father, I pray that she will see a light in the midst of darkness. Bless this family, Lord. Make a way where there seems to be no way. We submit our lives to you. I ask you to take this guilt away, this condemnation. Bring peace into her heart, into Fabian's heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Strengthen, bless. And may we go to a place this morning, Father, where we can say, thank you, Lord, for touching my heart. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening me. Thank you, Lord, because my hope is in God. I thank you, Lord, that you heard my cry. You heard my cry. Out of the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. Lord, I looked to my right hand and I saw no man. I turned to the left and there was no one. But I will look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Father, be her help this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, let's give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. I want to pray for all these wonderful women right here. Come again, brothers and sisters, stretch forth your hands towards these ladies right here. The enemy's also tried to lay some guilt trips on some of you. God, give me a word for one particular area, but that doesn't matter. We're all in this. And I want you to know that the devil is the author, not God, the author of all kinds of confusion and doubt. I know some of you pretty well, and I want you to know, when I see mothers, I see some of the greatest mothers in the world right before me. And I'm not saying this because they're words. I'm talking about you as well, my dear sister, okay? You know what I'm talking about, all right? Can we hold hands? I want every mother to hold hands beside. We're going to pray together. I'm going to pray a similar prayer that I just prayed, but I'm going to pray for all of you. Now I want you to look at me. I want all the mothers to look at me. Ladies, look. I want you to know something. I'm a father, not a mother, obviously. But I know what it means to have children. And I have felt guilty too at times with my own children. All right? We're all in this together. And I had the devil come to me, tell me what a terrible father I am. When I laid my hands on my wife's stomach in her womb, I committed my children to the Lord every single time. Sometimes things happen. It doesn't mean you're a bad mother. Sometimes things happen. It doesn't mean you're not qualified to be a good mother. Because some of you I know very well, and some of you are one of the most incredible people and mothers that I know. And I mean this without any exaggeration. That's just what the enemy does. He wants you to make you feel bad. He wants to make you feel worthless, no good. But there's not one mother on the face of the earth that hasn't had some kind of issues or something that she felt maybe she should have done a little different. That's just the way it is. But that doesn't make you a bad mother. You're a godly woman. And sometimes our children make us feel that, you know, we're the worst parents sometimes, I know. And sometimes our children might say, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're this and that, if you're... Well, look, we all gone through it. But today, God is going to do something special in your life. Can we stretch forth our hands towards these wonderful mothers, please? Heavenly Father, this morning we want to say thank you. We just want to say thank you for who you are. I want to say thank you, Lord, for being the Abba Father that you are. Lord, your word says that many times we go through things directly because of the chastisement of the Lord, that you are responsible and you have even ordained us to go through certain things, and that the ultimate purpose is that we draw close to you and that we become more like you. And Father, some of these mothers have suffered a lot. And maybe in their pain, they've expressed the same kind of sentiments to their children as maybe their parents expressed to them. But Lord, this morning, we're asking you to intervene. This morning, I ask you, Lord, to touch every mother that's here. Some of them who've been riding the wave of guilt for many months, and some of us for years. Father, I pray that the word of God that speaks about having no condemnation would truly penetrate deep within our hearts this morning. Father, I pray for spiritual freedom to rise up within us. That we will not feel a certain way because of some experience, Lord. Lord, so many things cannot be explained but only revealed. And so, Holy Spirit, reveal to us the way that only you can. Open our hearts and our minds and speak peace to the storm this morning. Speak peace in our relationship with our children. For some of these moms, Lord, might be having a hard time even now with their children, and maybe something has happened, Lord, where there's maybe even little conversation. I pray that you would restore that relationship in Jesus. In Jesus' name. I pray for divine restoration in Jesus' name. I pray that something would happen in the spirit realm even now as we speak, Lord, that you begin to do something in the realm of the spirit that cannot be constructed by a man's hands, that you would orchestrate certain things that would bring peace to that situation in Jesus' name. I speak peace in the framework of that home. In the midst of arguments, I speak peace. In the midst of stubbornness, I speak peace. I pray for wisdom, divine wisdom, to visit these mothers in a very supernatural and powerful way, Lord. That you'd give them wisdom how to respond and what to do from this day on. And so, Lord, we submit our lives to you afresh, every mother, into your arms. Embrace them this morning, Father. Let them sense your peace. Let them sense, Lord, that things are going to work out because you're working it out, Lord. And though it seems pretty ugly and dark, it almost seems that what can really happen, as Buki mentioned a while ago, that there's a light at that tunnel, and we find out that light is just another train passing through. Lord, may the light be your light this time, in Jesus' name. The light of God. May it come even now as we pray and restore our homes. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Moms, I'm going to tell you something. We love you so much. I have a deep love for you. You're special ladies. You are. I'm telling you, you're special ladies. God bless you. And be strong in the Lord. He's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. Blessing be with all of you. Happy Mother's Day. Be good to your mothers. Love your mothers. Take them out for lunch. Do something special. Give them a call. Go visit them. Tell them you love them. God bless you. And we'll see you again very, very soon. The Lord is good. Hallelujah.
Cry before.